Path to the Good Life, a walk through the Bible in a year. Let's return to Numbers, chapters 10 through 12. The silver trumpets. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Make two silver trumpets. You shall make them of hammered work, and you shall use them for summoning the congregation and for breaking camp. When both are blown, the whole congregation shall assemble before you at the entrance of the tent of meeting. But if only one is blown, then the leaders of the heads of the tribes of Israel shall assemble before you. When you blow an alarm, the camps on the east side shall set out. When you blow a second alarm, the camps on the south side shall set out. An alarm is to be blown whenever they are set out. But when the assembly is to be gathered, you shall blow, but you shall not sound an alarm. The sons of Aaron, the priests, shall blow the trumpets. This shall be a perpetual institution for you throughout your generations. When you go to war in your land against the adversary who oppress you, you shall sound an alarm with the trumpets, so that you may be remembered before the Lord your God and be saved from your enemies. Also, on your days of rejoicing, at your appointed festivals, and at the beginning of your months, you shall blow the trumpets over your burnt offerings and over your sacrifices of well-being. They shall serve as a reminder on your behalf before the Lord your God. I am the Lord your God." Departure from Sinai. In the second year, in the second month, on the 20th day of the month, the cloud lifted from over the tabernacle of the covenant. Then the Israelites set out by stages from the wilderness of Sinai, and the cloud settled down in the wilderness of Paran. They set out for the first time at the command of the Lord by Moses. The standard of the camp of Judah set out first, company by company. Over the whole company was Nashon, son of Aminadab. Over the company of the tribe of Issachar was Nethanel, son of Zuar. And over the company of the tribe of Zebulun was Eliab, son of Helon. Then the tabernacle was taken down, and the Gershonites and the Merarites who carried the tabernacle set out. Next, the standard of the camp of Reuben set out, company by company, and over the whole company was Eleazar, son of Shedor. Over the company of the tribe of Simeon was Shelumiel, son of Zurishaddai. And over the company of the tribe of Gad was Eliasaph, son of Deuel. Then the Kohathites, who carried the holy things, set out, and the tabernacle was set up before their arrival. Next, the standard of the camp of Ephraim set out, company by company. Over the whole company was Elishama, son of Ammihud. Over the company of the tribe of Manasseh was Gamil, son of Pedazur. And over the company of the tribe of Benjamin was Abidan, son of Gidoni. Then the standard of the camp of Dan, acting at the rear guard of all the camps, set out, company by company. Over the whole company was Ahirzar, son of Amishadai. Over the company of the tribe of Asher was Pagiel, son of Okron. And over the company of the tribe of Naphtali was Ahara, son of Enan. This was the order of the march of the Israelites, company by company, when they set out. Moses said to Hobab, son of Reuel of the Midianite, Moses' father-in-law, "We are setting out for the place of which the Lord said, 'I will give it to you.' Come with us, and we will treat you well, for the Lord has promised good to Israel." But he said to him, "I will not go, but I will go back to my own land and to my kindred." He said, "Do not leave us, for you know where we shall camp in the wilderness, and you will serve as eyes for us. Moreover, if you go with us, whatever good the Lord does for us, the same we will do for you." So they set out from the mount of the Lord, 3 days' journey, with the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord going before them, 3 days' journey, to seek out a resting place for them, the cloud of the Lord being over them by day when they set out from the camp. Whenever the ark set out, Moses would say, "Arise, O Lord, let your enemies be scattered and your foes flee before you." And whenever it came to rest, he would say, "Return, O Lord, to the 10,000s of Israel." Complaining in the desert. Now when the people complained in the hearing of the Lord about their misfortunes, the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled. Then the fire of the Lord burned against them and consumed some outlying parts of the camp. But the people cried out to Moses, and Moses prayed to the Lord, and the fire abated. So that place was called Taberah, because the fire of the Lord burned against them. The camp followed with them The camp followers with them had a strong craving, and the Israelites also wept again and said, "If only we had meat to eat. We remember the fish we used to eat in Egypt for nothing, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic. But now our strength is dried up, and there is nothing at all but this manna to look at." Now the manna was like coriander seed, and its color was like the color of gum resin. The people went around and gathered it, ground it in mills or beat it in mortars, then boiled it in pots and made cakes of it, and the taste of it was like the taste of cakes baked with oil. When the dew fell on the camp in the night, the manna would fall with it. Moses heard the people weeping throughout their families, all at the entrance of their tents. Then the Lord became very angry, and Moses was displeased. So Moses said to the Lord, "Why have you treated your servant so badly? Why have I not found favor in your sight, that you lay the burden of all this people on me? Did I conceive all this people? Did I give birth to them, that you should say to me, 'Carry them in your bosom as a wet nurse carries a nursing child to the land that you promised on oath to our ancestors'? Where am I to get meat to give all this people? For they come weeping to me, saying, 'Give us meat to eat.' I am not able to carry all this people alone, for they are too heavy for me. If this is the way you are going to treat me, put me to death at once. If I have found favor in your sight, and do not let me see my misery." The 70 elders. So the Lord said to Moses, "Gather for me 70 of the elders of Israel, whom you know to be the elders of the people and officers over them. Bring them to the tent of meeting and have them take their place there with you. I will come down and speak with you there, and I will take some of the spirit that is on you and put it on them, and they shall bear the burden of the people along with you, so that you will not bear it all by yourself. And say to the people, 'Consecrate yourself for tomorrow, and you shall eat meat, for you have wailed in the hearing of the Lord, saying, "If only we had meat to eat, surely it was better for us in Egypt." Therefore the Lord will give you meat, and you shall eat. You shall eat not only one day or two or 5 days or 10 days or 20 days, but for a whole month, until it comes out of your nostrils and becomes loathsome to you, because you have rejected the Lord who is among you and have wailed before him, saying, "Why did we ever leave Egypt?" But Moses said, "The people I am with number 600,000 on foot, and you say, 'I will give them meat that they may eat for a whole month.' Are there enough flocks and herds to slaughter for them? Are there enough fish in the sea to catch for them?" The Lord said to Moses, "Is the Lord's power limited? Now you shall see whether my word will come true or not." So Moses went out and told the people the word of the Lord, and he gathered 70 of the elders of the people and placed them all around the tent. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke to him and took some of the spirit that was on him and put it on the 70 elders. And when the spirit rested upon them, they prophesied, but they did not do so again. Two men remained in the camp, one named Eldad and the other named Medad, and the spirit rested on them. They were among those registered, but they had not gone out to the tent. So they prophesied in the camp, and a young man ran and told Moses, "Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp." And Joshua, son of Nun, the assistant of Moses, one of the chosen men, said, "My lord, Moses, stop them." But Moses said to him, "Are you jealous for my sake? Would that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his spirit on them." And Moses and the elders of Israel returned to the camp. The quails. Then a wind went out from the Lord, and it brought quails from the sea and let them fall beside the camp, about a day's journey on this side and a day's journey on the other side, all around the camp, about 2 cubits deep on the ground. So the people worked all that day and night and all the next day gathering the quails. The least any gathered were 10 homers, and they spread them out for themselves all around the camp. But while the meat was still between their teeth, before it was consumed, the anger of the Lord was kindled against the people, and the Lord struck the people with a very great plague, so that the place was called Kibroth Hattaava, because there they buried the people who had the craving. From Kibroth Hattaava, the people journeyed to Hazeroth. Aaron and Miriam, jealous of Moses. While they were at Hazeroth, Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Cushite woman whom he had married, for he had indeed married a Cushite woman. They said, "Has the Lord spoken only through Moses? Has he not spoken through us also?" And the Lord heard it. Now the man Moses was very humble, more so than anyone else on the face of the earth. Suddenly the Lord said to Moses, Aaron, and Miriam, "Come out, you three, to the tent of the meeting." So the three of them came out. Then the Lord came down in a pillar of cloud and stood at the entrance of the tent and called Aaron and Miriam. And they both came forward, and he said, "Hear my words. When there are prophets among you, I, the Lord, make myself known to them in visions. I speak to them in dreams. Not so with my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. With him I speak face to face, clearly and not in riddles, and he beholds the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses?" And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed. When the cloud went away from over the tent, Miriam's skin had become diseased, as white as snow. And Aaron turned towards Miriam and saw that she was diseased. Then Aaron said to Moses, "O my Lord, do not punish us for a sin that we have so foolishly committed. Do not let her be like one stillborn whose flesh is half consumed when it comes out of its mother's womb." And Moses cried to the Lord, saying, "O God, please heal her." But the Lord said to Moses, "If her father had put spit in her face, she would not bear her shame for 7 days. Let her be shut out of the camp for 7 days, and after that she may be brought in again." So Miriam was shut out of the camp for 7 days, and the people did not set out on the march until Miriam had been brought in again, and that the people set out from Hazeroth and camped in the wilderness of Paran. As you listen to these chapters, what did you notice? God shows mercy towards Moses, spreading the responsibility of leading the Israelites. God takes some of the spirit that is on Moses and puts it on the identified elders. How can this story encourage us to seek support when overwhelmed? How might we know what is God's will for our life and when we are taking on burdens or seeking blessings that are not our own? Now let's move to Romans 10 to 12. Brothers and sisters, my heart desire and prayer to God for them is that they may be saved. For I can testify that they have a zeal for God, but it is not based on knowledge. Not knowing the righteousness of God and seeking to establish their own, they have not submitted to God's righteousness. For Christ is the culmination of the law, so that there may be righteousness for everyone who believes. Salvation is for all. Moses writes concerning the righteousness that comes from the law, that the person who does these things will live by them. But the righteousness that comes from faith says, "Do not say in your heart, 'Who will ascend into heaven?' that is to bring Christ down, or 'Who will descend into the abyss?' that is to bring Christ up from the dead." But what does it say? "The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart." That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For one believes with the heart, leading to righteousness, and one confesses with the mouth, leading to salvation. The scripture says, "No one who believes in him will be put to shame, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all and is generous to all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." But how are they to call on the one whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in the one whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone to proclaim him? And how are they to proclaim him unless they are sent? As it is written, "How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news." But not all have obeyed the good news. For Isaiah says, "Lord, who has believed our message?" So faith comes from what is heard, and what is heard comes through the word of Christ. But I ask, have they not heard? Indeed they have. Their voice has gone out to all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. Again I ask, did Israel not understand? First Moses says, "I will use those who are not a nation to make you jealous. With a foolish nation I will provoke you." Then Isaiah is so bold as to say, "I have been found by those who did not seek me. I have shown myself to those who did not ask for me. But of Israel, he says, all day long I have held out my hands to a disobedient and contrary people. Israel's rejection is not final. I ask then, has God rejected his people? By no means. I myself am an Israelite, a descendant of Abraham, a member of the tribe of Benjamin. God has not rejected his people whom he foreknew. Do you not know what the scripture says of Elijah, how he pleads with God against Israel? Lord, they have killed your prophets, they have demolished your altars, I alone am left, and they are seeking my life. But what is your divine reply to him? I have kept for myself 7,000 who have not bowed the knee to Baal. So too, at the present time, there is a remnant chosen by grace. But if it is by grace, it is no longer on the basis of works, otherwise grace would no longer be grace. What then? Israel has not achieved what it was pursuing. The elect have achieved it, but the rest were hardened. As it is written, God gave them a sluggish spirit, eyes that would not see and ears that would not hear, down to this very day. And David says, let their table become a snare and a trap and a stumbling block and a retribution for them. Let their eyes be darkened so that they cannot see and keep their backs forever bent. The salvation of the Gentiles. So I ask, have they stumbled so as to fall? By no means, but through their stumbling, salvation has come to the Gentiles so as to make Israel jealous. Now, if their stumbling means riches for the world, and if their loss means riches for the Gentiles, how much more will their full inclusion mean? Now I am speaking to you, Gentiles, and as much as I am an apostle to the Gentiles, I celebrate my ministry in order to make my own people jealous and thus save some of them. For if their rejection is the reconciliation of the world, what will their acceptance be but life from the dead? If the part of the dough offered as first fruits is holy, then the whole batch is holy, and if the root is holy, then the branches are also holy. But if some of the branches were broken off, and if you, a wild olive shoot, were grafted among the others to share the rich root of the olive tree, do not boast over the branches. If you do boast, remember you do not support the root, but the root supports you. You will say, branches were broken off so that I might be grafted in. That is true. They were broken off on account of unbelief, but you stand on account of belief. So do not become arrogant, but be afraid. For if God did not spare the natural branches, neither will he spare you. Note then the kindness and the severity of God, severity towards those who have fallen, but God's kindness towards you if you continue in his kindness. Otherwise, you will also be cut off. And even those of Israel, if they do not continue in unbelief, will be grafted in, for God has the power to graft them in again. For if you have been cut off from what is by nature a wild olive tree and grafted, contrary to nature, into a cultivated olive tree, how much more will these natural branches be grafted back into their own olive tree? All Israel will be saved. I want you to understand this mystery, brother and sister, so that you may not claim to be wiser than you are. A hardening has come upon part of Israel until the full number of the Gentiles has come in. And in this way, all Israel will be saved. As it is written, out of Zion will come the deliverer. He will banish ungodliness from Jacob, and this is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. Regards the gospel, they are enemies for your sake, but as regards election, they are beloved for the sake of their ancestors, for the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. Just as you were once disobedient to God, but have now received mercy because of their disobedience, so also they have now been disobedient in order that by the mercy shown to you, they may also now receive mercy. For God has imprisoned all in disobedience so that he may be merciful to all. Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and how inscrutable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor, or who has given a gift to him to receive a gift in return? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. the new life in Christ. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, on the basis of God's mercy, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable act of worship. Do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of the mind, so that you may discern that which is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, according to each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and not all the members have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually we are members of one another. We have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, prophecy in proportion to faith, ministry in ministering, the teacher in teaching, the encourager in encouragement, the giver in sincerity, the leader in diligence, the compassionate in cheerfulness. Marks of the true Christian. Let love be genuine, hate what is evil, hold fast to what is good, love one another with mutual affection, outdo one another in showing honor, do not lag in zeal, be ardent in spirit, serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope, be patient in affliction, persevere in prayer, contribute to the needs of the saint, pursue hospitality to strangers, bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep, live in harmony with one another. Do not be arrogant, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. Instead, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. For by doing this, you will heap burning coals on their head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. As you listen to these chapters, what did you notice? As we read through Romans, many verses are familiar and we have heard them repeatedly. Romans 11:36, for from him and through him are all things. To him the glory forever. How does this inform your thinking of what it means to love God with all your heart, soul, and mind? In this section, Paul provides guidance on how we should interact with one another. Paul is helping us to think about how we demonstrate our love of God through how we are with one another. Let's end our time in prayer. Our Father who is in the skies, may your name be recognized as holy. May your kingdom come and may your will be done as it is in the skies, so also on the land. Give us today our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we also forgive those indebted to us. Don't lead us into the test, but deliver us from the evil one.